Begin the current daf Masechta Shkalim daf Yud Aleph. Begin two lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues a discussion that was mentioned in the Mishnah in the previous daf. The Mishnah spoke about different items, where they're taken from, and regarding items that are taken from the Shiyari Halishka, from the leftovers that were left over in the chamber after the different trumas were taken from it. What was left over in the Lishka was Shirayim and was not able to be used for the purchasing of the Kabbanis. So one of the items they used with the leftovers, with the remnants of that Lishka, was the Kevesh Par, which was the ramp that was used for the Paraduma. That was a bridge on top of a bridge, which is that for the precautions of Tahara, they made this to prevent Tuhumas of Tahayim, if there's a kever that was hidden, concealed from mankind. So they had these bridges that they were made. So the Gemara comments regarding this, that Amar B'chanina, Shachatz is G'day L'Haisa B'bnei Kohanim G'daylam. And that is, there's one opinion that was mentioned in the Mishnah that said that the Kevesh Para, this bridge, was not purchased with the remnants of the Lishka. Rather, it was, as the opinion of Abishol has mentioned, that this bridge was made by the Kohanim G'daylam themselves. So therefore, the Gemara comments, it says, that there was a great gaiva, a great pomp that was with the sons of the Kohanim G'daylam. With the construction of these bridges, because sheyesim eshishim kikri zav haymitzinba, the expenses were over 60 kikrim of zav, which is an enormous sum of money that it costed for them to make these bridges of the paraduma. Shayikivsha shal para oimid, because the reason why it was a great gaiva, a great haughtiness that there was for building of the construction of these bridges, because the bridge of the paraduma was already extant, it was there. But for lohay echad mehen mitzi parase bekivshah shachaberi. But when the kohen gadol, when they would go ahead and have to make a new paraduma to burn it, to have the ashes, to be mitaris someone that became tummy from a tumas mess, they would not use the old bridge that was constructed the last time they went and they transported the para from the Har Habayis to the Har Mishka. They would construct a new bridge. They didn't want to use the one that the other kohen had made in his days. They would destroy the old bridge and build a new one from their own, and it was an enormous amount of money, and that was a great gaiva that they did, that they built it and they spent so much money. And that the Gemara says that Hesiv Reb Ula Kumi Reb Mana. He says, how can you say that this that they made it was a gaiva that they didn't want to use the other person's, they wanted to make their own? But we learned Shimon HaTzadik, the great righteous Shimon HaTzadik, Shtei Parasasa, he made two paradumas. And Leibekevish Haitziazu. He did not take out the second paraduma with the same bridge he had by the first one. Rather, he made a new bridge. Now, Islacha Lameimer Shimon HaTzadik Shachatzai, can you say and entertain the svar you just said that the reason why they made their own was because of gaiva, that when he made the second one, it was a gaiva regarding the first one, that he didn't want to go ahead and make the old one, he wanted to make a new one, but Shimon HaTzadik would never have done such a thing. Rather, the Gemara says, Samaikadoin. So what's taka the reason why Shimon HaTzadik and all the other Kohanim G'dayim would build a new one? Rather, it's al shem ma'ale hibipar. It's an elevated status that they would make for the paraduma. Silsil hibipar. It's a type of covet and honor for the paraduma that it deserves its own bridge, but not because of gaiva. Similarly, the Gemara says, Tani, we learned, zizin uksalim hayu yoytzin mikan mikan. There were ledges and walls that went out from either side of the bridge. So that the Kohanim that are transporting the Paraduma from Har Habayis to Har Mishka should not look out over the edges, and they're going to see something that's going to bring them v'yitamu, and they're going to become tamei. So again, that's the concept over here, that it's a way of kavod and tahara that they made these bridges, but nothing to do because of a sign of gaiva. Now, our Mishnah said, there was a machlekes regarding what was done with the leftovers of the remnants of the Lishka. And that is, the Shiyari Lishka were used for the tzrachim, for the necessities of the city, to build, take care of the streets, and to build different pits. Now, what was done with the leftovers of those remnants? So in that one opinion mentioned the Mishnah, that of Rabbi Shmuel said that they would purchase different products of wine and oil and flour, and they would sell it to people that needed for the purposes in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would make a profit. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, he said, we can't use the items of Hekdesh for business dealings. And that's because it might create a loss, and we don't want to go ahead and invest. Although we might make money, we might lose, we don't want to create a loss for Hekdesh. And similarly, that Rabbi Kiva said, the same thing would apply to Aniyim, funds for the poor people. We're not allowed to invest it. Although we might make money, we might lose, and therefore not allowed out. So on that, the Gemara comments, Elem Ratza, the only way is if a person, the one that's in charge, if he's willing, that Yehav Sitchaloi, if there's a loss, he'll take the loss. Vaschar lehekdish, and if there's a gain, it'll go to hekdish. Then mutter, then that's permitted, because he's so confident he's going to make a lot of money for hekdish. So go ahead, but you have to take responsibility for the loss, or else we're not allowed to invest the property of hekdish. As similarly regarding the other halacha of aniyim, the Gemara says kado bar zmina, like it was by bar zmina that is pakid gabei medal de yasmin, that he had in his properties, he had the different funds of orphans that were deposited with him. So Asa v'shol Reb Manna, he came and asked by Reb Manna if he's allowed to go ahead and invest and use it to purchase items to make money for them. So Malaysa said to him, in bayis, if you want, the hafsad didach, that if there's going to be a loss, it's going to be your loss. V'ikra d'tavechen, and if there's a gain, then you'll be able to split it with the orphans. Then shari, then you're allowed to. But if not, you're not allowed to invest their monies, because although you're so confident, but it might be a loss for them. Some of the Gemara says, Reb Chiya bar Ado, Ispakit gabei medal de yasmin. He had deposited by him the monies of the orphans. So Ovidkin, and this is exactly what he did. He invested with the premise that if he'll lose, he'll take the loss, and if there's a gain, he'll split it with the orphans. Now, in our Mishnah, we spoke about different items, different meisaris, different extras, leftovers of peiris, meisar peiris. We spoke about meisar nesachim. There's nothing more I will comment regarding these different opinions that were mentioned in the Mishnah and all these different items. What are they a reference to? So the Gemara says, Masnitin, in our Mishnah, the Rabbi Shmuel, when it talks about the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Pasar Masnitin, he interprets the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel with the two items that he speaks about, he interprets as follows. He says, Meisar Peiris, this that Rabbi Shmuel says, Meisar Peiris, the excess, the leftovers of the Peiris, what's that a reference to? What's the produce that he's talking about? That's Schar Lehektish. That is, according to his opinion that he mentions in our Mishnah, which we just discussed before that he argues with Rabbi Kiva, that he says, if there's leftovers of the remnants of the Lishka, we take it and we invest, we purchase different products, and then we sell, we make money off of that. So that revenue that Hekdesh makes, that is the Meisar Peiris, that's the excess of the produce. That's what he meant when he said the Meisar Peiris. And of that he said, the Meisar Peiris goes to Kitz HaMizbech. They're used to purchase these desserts for the Mizbech, which is when no carbon is being brought, we bring carbon oilers from that fund. And Meisar Nesachim, this is mentioned in the Mishnah by the other Man D'Amrim, that there's something called the excess of the libations, and that we have different opinions if that goes to the Kitz HaMizbech, or it's brought for the Kli Sharis. What is that a reference to? So on that, Reb Chiya bar Yosef interprets Zus Sa'a Revias. That's a reference to the fourth Sa'a. Now, what does that mean? That means, as the Mishnah will tell us later on, that if someone accepts upon himself the responsibility of supplying the Beis HaMikdash with flour, and that is at a price of when four Sa'a cost one Sela, and then ultimately, a Sa'a only purchases three Sa'a. His responsibility is he still has to supply at the cheaper price of four Sa'a for the Sela. And that gain that Hekdesh has, that because although now the price is really that they should only get for that Sela three Sa'a, but since he already committed himself for the higher price, they're going to get an extra Sa'a. That fourth Sa'a is called Sa'a Dalid. So that excess, now that they have extra, that's called Meisar Nesachim, and that's why we had the Machlokes in the Mishnah, what's done with the Meisar Nesachim. So that's the interpretation of the terms according to Reb Chiya bar Yosef. Reb Yochanan Pasa Masnita, he interprets in our Mishnah the different terminologies as follows. Meisar Peiris, this is what Reb Shmuel was speaking about, this term of the excess of the produce. He says, not like Reb Chiya bar Yosef, that's a reference to the schar of hekdesh of what was sold, and then they went and with this different flour and the oil and that revenue. Rather, Zu Sa'a Revias, what Reb Chiya bar Yosef is calling the Meisar Nesachim, he's calling the Meisar Peiris. It's the reference to that fourth saw, that extra saw that they get, that the one who's supplying still has to give by the cheaper price. So what is he called Meisar Nesachim? What's the excess of the libations? That's a reference LeBeirutzin. Now what Beirutzin is that when someone would sell something to Hekdesh, they would or bring something, he would bring it at an overflowing on top of the vessel that's holding it. Now when Hekdesh would go ahead and sell it, they would sell it without the overflowing. That's what's called Meis Nesachim. That's the excess of the Nesachim, that the one who's supplying it has to supply it with an overflow. When Hekdesh then resells it, they do it without the overflow, so they're left with that excess of Nesachim. That's called Beirutzin. That is what we mean when we say the term of Meis Nesachim, which again is a machlekes in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, the less later Reb Chiya bar Yosef LeBeirutzin? Now, Reb Chiya bar Yosef doesn't mention anything about Beirutzin. He says about the different terms of Schar Hekdesh, and of Saravias. That's how he interprets Moshe Peres and Moshe Nesachim. Not like the way the Gemara just interpreted in Rabbi Yechanan. So why doesn't he mention Beirutzen? And the reason why the Gemara is asking this is because there's an explicit Tosefta that Beirutzen go to the Kaitz HaMizbech. It goes for the dessert of the Mizbech. So why doesn't he mention this as one of the Maestras, what we're talking about? That's a halacha that no one argues about. So that Rabbi Chizkiya, says, but you're right, he doesn't argue about Beirutzen that it also goes to Kaitz HaMizbech, but rather Madinafla Saravis, because whatever it is that the Saravis goes to, Nafla Beirutzen, that's where the Beirutzen go to. And therefore, it's not a difficulty because the Mishnah just used the terminology of Sadalid, because that is exactly what Mois Nesachim is. But the truth is that whatever we're saying is the halacha that applies to one is going to apply to the other, and therefore he's not arguing Rabbi Yechanan in principle that there's Beirutzen that's going to go to the different areas. And that's the same thing as what he says for the Saravia. So they're both agreeing essentially that regarding what's called Mois Nesachim, whichever opinion you go in the Mishnah, that it goes to Klisharis or whatever it is, that everyone agrees Beirutzen is included. Only machlekes between them is that Rabbi Chiba Yosef is including in that also the Saravias, which Rabbi Yechanan does, and he calls that Moshe Peres, and therefore it's not a difficulty in Rabbi Chiba Yosef. Now the Gemara explains, based on both opinions that we mentioned regarding the different definition of the terms, so it says Aldeiti Rabbi Chiba Yosef Nicha. According to the first opinion mentioned in our Gemara of Rabbi Chiba Yosef, it makes sense to understand what the Mishnah tells us, because the Mishnah says, Ein mistarken b'shal hekdesh. We understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion that one cannot go ahead and make money to invest with the properties of hekdesh, and Rabbi Hananya holds the same thing like Rabbi Kiva on this, and afle b'shal anim, and the same thing Rabbi Kiva would hold. You're not allowed to invest the properties and the monies of the poor people. Now lefikach zev zel lo hayu moed b'peres. Now, based on that, we can understand how the Mishnah concluded by saying, and both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Hananya, they do not agree to Rabbi Shmuel with the halacha of the Peres. And the reason why is because they don't hold there such a concept as Moiser Peres. And the reason why is because Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef explained what is Moiser Peres. He said that's the revenue Hekdesh has, which they use when they sell off that oil and the flour and the wine. Now, but we just explained that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Kiva can't agree to that because they hold you cannot invest there. You don't even have Moshe Peres in the first place. So it makes a lot of sense why they are not Moida to Rabbi Shmuel on the concept of Moshe Peres, because there is no such a thing as Moshe Peres. However, the Gemara asks, Aldait to Rabbi Yechanan Kasha, according to Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation of the terms of what Moshe Peres is, it's difficult. Because how did Rabbi Yechanan interpret what it is? He said that it's Saravias. He said that this thing of Moshe Peres is the fourth Sa. Now, Vatanin, we learned in the Mishnah later on, that says, Amdu Migimel. If, let's say, it ended up being the price of how much a seller will buy, it would only buy 3 Sayin, the halacha still applies that Yisapik Midalad, he has to still supply at the price, the cheaper price, as we mentioned before, that he had committed himself for 4 Sayin for the seller. Now, there's no one that argues on that Mishnah later on. And yet, for Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, the question is, how could our Mishnah have said, both Rabbi Kiva and Hananya disagree with Rabbi Shmuel regarding the excess of the Peres? Now, if you say the interpretation of Peres is like Rabbi Yechanan, which is the fourth Sa'a, but everyone agrees to it. It's a Mishnah later on that nobody disagrees. So, according to Rabbi Yechanan, it's difficult because he's saying Moshe Peres is a Saravias, and a Mishnah later on makes it sound like everyone agrees. So, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Hananya should agree to Rabbi Shmuel that there is such a thing as Meiser Peres, which is the Saravias, which will go whatever it goes to. And that the Gemara answers, Lohayu Maidim Peres, what did they disagree with Rabbi Shmuel about the Meiser Peres? That it should be Bekayitz L'mizbeach. They didn't argue on the fact that there is such a thing as the excess of the produce, which we're saying is Saravias, because that, as the Mishnah later on says, everyone agrees. What they argue is about where the funds go to. On that, Rabbi Shmuel says it goes to the dessert of the Mizbeach, which are karbanos of Oila, when there's nothing being brought. That they disagree. Aval moedim hayu, but they do agree that beklisharis, that it goes somewhere else. It goes to the klisharis, it goes to the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash. So, yes, of course they agree, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, that there is such a thing as Moshe Peres. What they disagree on, Rabbi Shmuel, is where it goes to. Now the Gemara says, in reflection of these halachas, that ad kedayin, up until now, we know that Beirut Zeitzibur, we discussed one of the items which according to everybody is being included in the Moshe Nesachim, that there's the excess of this of what's brought in the kli, that overflowing pot that's on top, that we know that what comes from the tzibur, those things are what we said we can purchase kli sharis from. Let's say if that's the halacha of meis nesachim. The question that the Gemara is asking right now is, v'afila b'reitzi yachid, would that even be the overflow of an individual? In other words, the question is, as the Gemara says, if that would be the case, v'leinimtzu kli sharis b'ayin mishal yachid, but then wouldn't it come out that then the purchasing of the kli sharis, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, that meis nesachim goes, as Reb Kiva said, l'kli sharis, so if meis nesachim, which we said includes b'reitzi midis, the excess, if that would include also an individual, it comes out that his monies of an individual is being used to purchase kli sharis, and we know that it's not true. An individual's money cannot be used to purchase kli sharis. So that the Gemara says it's not difficult because kahod de tanin, and it's like what we learned that isha sha'asasa k'sainis levna, said if a woman makes a tunic for her son, a kohen that's doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, k'shera, it is kasher, ubavad shetem tzeren letzibra, as long as she gives it over the ownership of the item to the Beis Hamikdash. And that's the same principle that's going to work over here. As long as it's given over to the tzibur, it's like it's the tzibur's. And therefore, although yes, it's coming from a yachid, this birutzim, they overflow. It's not a problem because it's given over to the tzibur and has the halachic status of a tzibur. And that's where it can be used to purchase the kli sharis. So the Gemara continues on this theme and says, "Ad kedoin birutzi lach." So up until now, what we knew from this halacha is that we had no question that the overflow of liquid measurements, that will have a status of Kedusha, as the Gemara Menachah says in the Tzadik Amar Aleph, that the measurements of the liquids, their overflow was holy. And that's what we're saying, that's used to purchase the Kli Sharis. Now, the reason why it's so obvious regarding liquid is either because the kalim of liquids were, they had Meshicha done, the anointment was done in the inside and the outside, which is not the case by the dry measurements, or because, for a different svar, is because by liquids, what happens is that liquids are mixing with each other. And therefore, even what's on the top goes in and other things swoosh back out. And therefore, everything will ultimately touch the kli and become kaddish. And therefore, that's why we know that even overflow became kaddish because it went in. But by dry, by solids, that's not necessarily the case because what's on the top never really got into the kli itself. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, afilu birutzi yavish, would the same thing apply to the overflow of solids? Would that also go to kayitz hamizbeach, according to the opinion that's mentioned in the Mishnah, that we said that Reb Chananya, Skan HaKahanim, said that he said, Meis Nesachim, the excess of Nesachim, which we're saying includes Berutzei Midas, that goes to the Kaitzim of the Zbeach. Would we say the same thing applies to Berutzei Yavish, which is Chayil, and never really was sanctified in the inside of the Kli? So that the Gemara answers, Kahid Tanin Taman, is like what we learned over there. It's in the Teseft at the end of the 10th parak of Masechtas Menachos, which is brought in the bridge version on Daf Tzadi Amid Beis, that says, Hanesachim Shekidshu B'Kli, the libations, the things that are brought in the Sachim, which we're saying includes Berutz and Midas, which were sanctified in the vessel, V'nimtza HaZevach Pasel, and then you find out that the carbon that it's brought with, Nesachim always brought together with the carbon. If it comes out that the carbon is Pasel, so you can't bring the sachem by them. So you're not bringing it by itself. So it says in Yeshem Zevach Acher, if you have another carbon there, there's the Yikra V'Yimai, then you bring it with it. The Imlanu, and if it was left overnight, then Yufsalu Belinu, then it becomes invalidated by being left overnight. But one thing we learn from there, from that Tesefta, is that, however, if it was not sanctified in the vessel, it said only Shekid Shebekli. If it wasn't sanctified in the vessel, then it's not holy. And therefore, what you learn from there is that Berutze Yavish, the excess that there is from solid measurements, that they're not kaddish because it didn't get into the kli itself. And then you're right, that would not be included in this halach of Meis Nesachim, and it would not be used to purchase the kayitz hamizbeach, the dessert that's used to purchase, as we said, from the Meis Nesachim, is used to purchase kayitz hamizbeach. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of the Meisaris of excess of different funds, different items in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah begins, Meisa HaKatayris Mahayo Eisenba. What did they do with the leftover of the incense that there is every year? And the reason is because there was always keteris left over after every year, because there is no year that you can't have, because the keteris had 368 manim, different portions, which there were 365 in correlation to the days of the solar year. Now there were three portions that the Kohen Gadol would dig and get his fistfuls on Yom Kippurim. Now, he wouldn't take all of it in his fistfuls. So therefore, you have that extra that's for sure being left over. And in for sure, in a year that's not an Ibriya, that doesn't have an extra Adar, where a regular, we go with the lunar year, is only 354 days. So you have from 368 to 354, there's that discrepancy. So you're always going to have some type of an excess of the Keteris. What do we do with that? So that the Gemara says, Mafrishin mimena, we separate from that leftover Keteris, the amount of the Schar HaUmnin, the amount of the craftsmen that work, do their work in the Beis HaMikdash, U'mechalon oisa, and they deconsecrate from what they separated from the excess of the Keteris, al ma'oisa umnin, on the money of these craftsmen. And what the Gemara assumes initially is that the money of Hektish, which is what Hektish is using to pay the craftsmen that are doing work in the Beis HaMikdash, what they do is they deconsecrate the Keteris on that money. V'noisin oisa, so now when they deconsecrated the Keteris, which is not going to be Hektish anymore because they deconsecrate on the money that's being owed to these craftsmen. So then, they give that excess of the Keteris lo umnin bischar to the craftsmen if for that payment, because now they're not giving them Hektish anymore, it's choil. Then they repurchase it from the craftsmen. Say, we owe you $100, so we give you $100 worth of Keteris, which is not Hektish anymore because it was deconsecrated on the money that was owed to them from Hektish. Now, we're going to repurchase with the new, because we can't take the old Keteris. We have to take every year the new, from the new Trumas Halishka. Now we have the new monies. Now we're going to repurchase it from you, and then you're going to get the money that is owed to you. Now, the Imba Chodesh Bismanai, if the new Shkolim came in its time, and that is, if the people had already paid up their Machzah Shekel before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the time of when the new Truma has to be taken from, then Loichan Oisim Truma Chadosha, then they purchase it from the Umnin, from the craftsman, with the new Shkolim. Vimlav, and if not, if the money's not here yet, then Min HaYishana, they purchase it from the old Shkolim that they have from the previous year. Now the Gemara asks as follows. Regarding this process of what they do with the excess of the Keteris, so we said that they deconsecrate the Keteris on the money of Hektish that's owed to these craftsmen. So the Gemara asks, V'loy nimtze Hektish mischal al Hektish? Doesn't it come out then that something of Hektish, which are the Keteris, is being deconsecrated on something that in itself is Hektish? Because the Gemara assumes now that when it says al ma'is ha'umnin, on the pay, that we're deconsecrating on the money that's owed to the craftsmen, it means the money from Hektish that is needed, that was separated to pay up the craftsmen, and we're deconsecrating the Keteris on that. So therefore the Gemara asks, how can you do that? We know that Hektish has to be mischal, has to be deconsecrated on something of Chulin. But here that money itself is Hektish. How can you deconsecrate the Keteris onto that money? So that the Gemara answers, Ketzer Oisa, what do they do? So Amrib Shimon Bar Bisna, maybe Ma'is. Yes, they bring money from Hektish, which is Kaddish, u'mechalon ala binyan, the step before. They take those monies that, yes, they owe to the umnim, but it's Hektish, what are we going to do with it? So they deconsecrate that money on the building structures in the Beis HaMikdash. As the Gemara says in Bavli, Masechtas Me'ilah, Yudalam and Aleph, that Shmuel says the buildings that were done in the Beis HaMikdash were built in what's called Choyl. It was used with unconsecrated monies and unconsecrated building equipment and items. Then later they would make it Kaddish. And the way that was done, continue on to Amud Beis, is that when they would build in the Bedek HaBayis, which means to say in the building processes in the Beis HaMikdash, they would purchase all the needs for the building from Mois Chulin, from non-consecrated monies. After they finished building, then they would sanctify the building. And that is, they would bring the money of Hektish, the amount that was equaling the building and the amount that was owed to the different professionals that worked there and how much things went up in price and in quality because of what they had done. And then they say that the Kedusha that's on these monies should be deconsecrated onto the buildings. So it comes out that the building now is Kaddish and the money goes out to Chulin. And then with those monies, they use those monies now to pay the umnin. That's the schar umnin. Those are the monies that we're talking about. Now, what's the reason why someone that if he's menadif, if he donates monies, it becomes Kaddish? And then they say that money, that Kaddish, gets deconsecrated on the building, and they give that money to the payment to the craftsman, is because since when someone donates money, it becomes Kaddish right away. Now, since it's Kaddish, then they're not going to be able to purchase anything of chulin, because you can't take mois of hekdesh and purchase things of chulin. And because if you're going to give this to, let's say, a regular person, he's going to go ahead and misappropriate it. It's mois of hekdesh. It's going to be used for mundane purposes. So therefore, you have to do the process that we just spoke about, that the building will be done from things that are non-consecrated. And then they'll take these monies of hekdesh and deconsecrate it on the building. And then you'll have money around, which will now be chulin. Now we could use it for things that the Beis HaMikdash needs, to be able to use it for the populace, for people that, for chulin purposes. So that's how we acquire, quote-unquote, this mois chulin. Because although we have mois hekdesh, we deconsecrate it on the building, which now gets that kedusha, and the chulin status goes to the monies. Now, with those mois of chulin, umevi keteres, then they bring this excess of the keteres, umechal aleihen, and now they deconsecrate that holy, that kedusha that is in the keteres, gets transferred to these monies that had already been converted into chulin through the gizbar, so the one that's in charge, by putting the kedusha onto the buildings that there are in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they go ahead and they give the excess of the keteres, which again was already became chulin by transferring with the money, and the keteres is already chulin. They give that lu'umnin b'schar, and they give that to the craftsmen for their pay. Now the Gemara asks, so part of this process, what we said is we were able to get money of chulin by deconsecrating it onto the building. But then we said it resumes with its kedusha, because what we did was we take the kedusha of the keteres, and we had to go ahead and deconsecrate the keteres because we have to get it back to chulin to then repurchase it. So we have new keteres from the new trumas halishkas to purchase. So then we said that monies that the keteres is being deconsecrated on gets back to the kedusha because it takes the kedusha of the keteres. So that the Gemara asks, Eisen hamois. Now those monies, which we said again was kaddish, was deconsecrated onto the building, which took the Kedusha and made the money chulin. But then that mois of chulin got back the Kedusha because the Keteris was deconsecrated onto that. Now it's back holy again. So Mayasaben, what do we do with these monies now that have Kedusha? What do we do with it? So that the Gemara says, Rebbe says, Oymani, I say, Yinosnu lebeis garmu ulebeis avtinas. You give it to the household of garmu and to the household of avtinas, which is that they take their pay from the Trumas Halishka, as was mentioned previously, that they do Avodas HaKodesh, and therefore they do the different things that are necessary for Keteres and Lechem HaPonim, and these are different things that they do, so they could take it from Trumas Halishka, and therefore now that it's Kodesh again, that's not a problem. They could take that Shahoyu Bekin, Bepitim HaKeteres, Bemaisa Lechem HaPonim. They were proficient. They were the families that did the compounding of the Keteres and the works of the Lechem HaPonim. They knew how to do it in such a way that only they did. They could take it from Trumas Halishka, and that's what we do with this money that now is back Kaddish again. Amar B'Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. So he qualifies this halacha. He says, however, the hein sheyu chayoven lahen mo'is mishar rishon. This is only if they owed the money to the Beis Garmu, if they owed them from the money from the previous year. Because if it would be from the coming year, then their pay also has to be from the new truma. That is, we said, trumas alishka is the monies that are used for karbanis and for the karbanis of the tzibur that includes the lechem, that includes all these different things. Now, this family, when they get paid from trumas alishka, has to be from that year's. And therefore, when we're saying we use this money that's kaddish, it was from last year's funds. So what we could do with it, we could pay them if we owe them from last year. But if we owe them from this year's, then we can't go ahead and pay them from last year's because that's not the application. It's only from this year's trumas alishka that we pay them for this year. And therefore, the Gemara says, Reb Chiya bar Bo Bai, so he asks, what do you do if, let's say, they don't owe them from last year? Let's say they already paid them up last year's already. They paid them up on time. And now it's the new year that they're going to owe them for. We can't use last year's to pay them. What do we do with those original monies if we can't use it for the Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinas? So Asa, Reb, and the Gears has changed to Chiya bar Bo, that Reb Chiya bar Bo came, and we take out the words B'Shem Reb Chiya, and he said B'Shem Reb Yesi, says Mekaitz and Behenes HaMizbech, what we do with this money that's now Kaddish now, we use it for the dessert of the Mizbech, which again are the carbon oilers that are brought when the Mizbech is idle. Now on this, the Gemara asks, Rebo bar Koyin Boyikumi Reb Yesi, says Mechal Fashitzid Reb Chiya bar Bo, what he switched his opinions, this Reb Chiya bar Bo. In other words, Taman Tzrichin Lei, originally, he asked this as a question. didn't know what to do with these monies. Now it's obvious to him, and now he says, because Rebbe said in the name of Rechir Rabba, he said this halacha, that what we do with it. In other words, did he want to know what we do with it? Or was it obvious to him that you use it for the Kayitz HaMizbech? So he asked originally what it was that we do with it. And now he says, oh, he knows what it is, what we do with it. We do it for the Kayitz HaMizbech. What is it? Did he not know or did he know? So that the Gemara answers, it depends for what. This that he needed to know, he asked this as a question, was Bikli Sharis. He wasn't sure that this money that became, took over the Kedusha of the Keteris, can you go ahead and purchase Kli Sharis with it, like the Shiyari HaLishka, like the remnants of the Lishka? Or is it like the excess of the Trumas HaLishka? However, Hadib Shit Delay, it was obvious to him, Bikaitz L'Mizbeach, this that he said he knows what to do with it, and that you use it for the dessert of the Mizbeach, is because even the Meiser, the excess of the Trumas HaLishka, even that goes to the Kayitz HaMizbeach. So that he knew for sure the lowest status that this money's Kedusha has is like the excess of the Trumas HaLishka, which goes to purchase Kayitz HaMizbeach. His question was, and that he didn't answer, was does it even have a higher sanctity like the Shiyari HaLishka, this money that took over the Kedusha of the Mikdaris? And that was his question that he wanted to know, could it be used to purchase the Kli Sharis? So therefore we could have both. He could have his question and his answer too. His question was, does it have the higher sanctity of Kli Sharis? What he did know was obvious was that it for sure could be brought for the lower sanctity of the Meis of the Trumas HaLishka for the Kayitz HaMizbeach. Now the Gemara explains, this Balgan, like the Gemara says, that this actually happens to be this question that he had regarding what is the status of this Keteris, and hence the transition, the transfer of a sanctity that goes over to these monies that the Keteris was deconsecrated on, that we wanted to know. Yes, it was obvious to him that it's going to have the status of the Meis Trumas HaLishka, that it could be purchased for the Kayitz HaMizbeach. But his question was, is it like the Shiyari HaLishka, that could be used even for higher sanctity for the purposes of Kli Sharis? That is a machlekes regarding what is the Kedusha that the Keteris has. And therefore, again, this was his question. What type of Kedusha? How great is it? And hence, that would tell us what these monies who have that Kedusha now, for what funds could they be used for? As the Gemara says, that there's a machlekes regarding this Kedusha that Keteris has in, and which manifests itself in how the Keteris have to be mandated, how they're compounded. As the Gemara says, Pitma b'chulin, regarding Keteris, they were compounded in a non-consecrated state, which it would be in the klichel, in an unconsecrated vessel. So we have machlekes. Rabbi Yisi b'Reb Chanino Amar, he says, psula, it's invalid. It has to be made in the kli kodesh. Rabbi Shuben Levi Amar Kasher, he says, it's kosher. The Gemara explains both opinions. Mat Taimed Rabbi Yisi b'Reb Chanino, what's the reason why he holds that it's going to be invalid? And that is because it says in the pasuk regarding Keteris kodeshi that it will be holy. Now, what's the term he? And that the Gemara says, Shetehei HaViyasa B'Kodesh, teaches that its formation, its creation, has to be in a state of holiness. And that tells us that it has to be in the Kli Kodesh, and if not, it's going to be possible. Matayim Rabbi Shuben Levi. What's the reason of Shuben Levi that he holds is going to be kosher? Because he interprets Kodesh, yes, it means that it should be holy. Its formation, its creation has to be from a holy place. But it doesn't mean that it has to be compounded in the Kli Kodesh. Rather, Shetehei Trumas HaLishka, it should come, its source should be from the Trumas HaLishka. However, if it's compounded in a non-consecrated vessel, it's going to be kosher. And therefore, what we see from Yeshua ben Levi is that he holds that it's coming from the Trumas HaLishka, which is, as we said, that's only going to be for the Kayitz HaMizbeach. That is where the funds of the Keteris are coming from. So according to that, yes, that he knew Kayitz HaMizbeach. But he wasn't sure if it has to be like the other opinion mentioned, which was that it has to be made in the Kli Kodesh. Oh, that's going to be something that we said, Kli Sharis, that's a higher sanctity, and therefore maybe it would be brought with the Kli Sharis, like the Shiyari HaLishka. This was the question that he had, that he asked, which is based on this machlekes. Now the Gemara says that Amar B'Yisi B'Rabun, Asiya, comes out that this machlekes has others that argue on the same machlekes. The Rabbi Yisi ben Chanina is Kishmul, or the Rabbi Shu ben Levi's opinion is Krib Yechanan. The Tanina, like we learned in the Mishnah on the next daf, that says Hamakdish Nechasav, if someone consecrated all his properties, and amongst his properties were items that were fit to be brought as public sacrifices. Shabiyechanan says, in interpretation of what does this mean, Karbonis Tzibur, he says that's a reference to Keteris, to incense. And that's because regarding animals and all the other things that it already says there, and also because they're fit to be brought for an individual just like a tzibur. So therefore, what is an item that means it, that it can be brought for Karbanas Tzibur? That must mean Ketores, which is only fit to be brought for the public. Now, obviously, you see like his opinion that because Ketores, we're talking about that it's from it was a person's own private property. Now, obviously, his incense was compounded in the state of Chayil, and yet still it's Kasher, we're saying it's brought as Ketores. And because and his nechasim, his properties were chulin. That's like Rabbi Shuma Levi, and that's difficult according to Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, because Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said that it cannot be made in a state of in a state of chulin. Rather, that comes out that this statement of Rabbi Yechanan is like Rabbi Shuma Levi. So what does he do with that? So Amar Bahishya, Tifta Yeftin interpret when it says that the Ketores will be coming from this private person's properties, which sounds like it was compounded in Chayil, that it wasn't made in Chayil, because he says it has to be made in the Kli Kodesh. We're talking about Be'umen Mishel Beis Avtinus. We're talking about one of the craftsmen of the household of Beis Avtinus. He took all his properties and consecrated to Hekdesh. Shahayu Noitel B'Schari Ketores, as we mentioned previously on this daf, that they took their pay from the Ketores. And therefore, this Ketores that he has was compounded in Kodesh. And what he does now is he's makdish it, because although we said generally that we deconsecrate it and we go ahead and then we repurchase it, before it was deconsecrated, he went and he was makdish it. So it was compounded in Kodesh, and how does he have it? Because he got paid with it, because he could get paid from the Trumas HaLishka. So that is what he went ahead and was makdish, and it was not difficult according to his opinion. And we could say that it was even the Skadish B'chol, Rabbi Yechanan does not have to be a contradiction to Rabbi Yisi B'Reb Chanina's opinion. Now, with Rabbi Yisi B'Reb Chanina, he's Kishmul. The Amr of Huin B'Shem Shmuel, he says, Machteshes, the mortar that was used to compound the incense, Asu Aisa Kikli Sharis L'Kodesh, was made like a Kli Sharis, like one of the holy vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, for its sanctity. So obviously you see that you needed to have a Kli Sharis, and if it's made in Chayil, in a non-consecrated vessel, it's going to be possible. So on that, the Gemara asks, Amr Biyisi B'Rabun, Amra Reb Chuna Kumi Reb Yisi. Chuna said in front of Reb Yisi, he said, Davar Shekadosh B'Kli Sharis Nifta? Something that was made in the Kli Sharis, in the holy vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, could be redeemed? In other words, if it's like you yourself, if it's like he just said, that it had, like it was said in the name of Shmuel, that it was compounded in the Kli Sharis, because that's what they create, they made the mortar with that type of status. So how was it redeemed that it should be paid for the craftsman through the process that we just mentioned on this daf? Through Chilul, by deconsecrating it, how could you deconsecrate something that was niskadish in the Kli Sharis? You can't. So obviously, that it was not sanctified, which is difficult on the opinion of Shmuel, and similarly, the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who is being supported by the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, who is being supported by the opinion of Shmuel, that it would seem like that it could not have been made Kaddish. So that Amalei Rabbi Yisrael said to Rabbi Chuna, he said, wait a second, what's your question? Who is it on? V'lav de Shmuel he? Isn't it on Shmuel that he's the one that said this statement regarding the Machteshes, that we consider it like a Kli Sharis? And yet still your question was, but we're deconsecrating it. How could you deconsecrate something that was sanctified in a Kli Sharis? The Shmuel Amr, the same Shmuel that said that Memra, he's the one that says, Kalu B'Meiser. There were certain leniencies that we introduced for excess, that he's lenient by the excesses regarding pigeon, regarding redemption, even though the item is holy. This Balgan, like we learned that this is a Machlekes. Haisiru Tamimim, regarding animals that are Tamim, they're unblemished, that are fit to be used as Karbanos in the Mizbeach, if they were left over, as it's taught in the Mishnah, Masechtas Erech and Daf Yud Gimel, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to have less than six karbanas, six animals that have already been checked, and they're in the lishka, in the chamber of the tloim, of the animals that are being brought for a karban. They have to be checked and ready, that there's no blemishes for them. Now, when it comes time by Rish Chodesh Nisan, they wouldn't bring any more the karbanas tzibur from the old monies of the truma of the last year, like it said in as explained in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So it comes out, by the time the new year comes around, Rish Chodesh Nisan, that there's four animals that are left over in the Lishka Satlam from the money of old year's purchases. Now, we couldn't go ahead and now bring it anymore, so you have them as leftover. So you have Hasir Tamim. Every year you're going to have at least four of these animals that are left over, that are unblemished. What do you do with them? So Shmuel Amar, and this is part of the answer, we see Shmuel holds that things that are left over, we could go ahead and deconsecrate them, even though they have a Kedusha. Because Shmuel says, Niftin Kitmimim, they could be redeemed in their unblemished state to permit it for the coming year. What you do is you take these animals and you deconsecrate their sanctity onto money of Chulin. Then those monies go to the excess of the old last year's truma, because that's what these animals were from. And then it goes, and this money takes that status, which you go ahead and you make these golden plates, which are used to cover the kacha kachma, as we mentioned before. Now, once these animals go out and are removed from their kedusha to the state of chulin, then they repurchase these four animals from the money of the new truma, and they're brought in the coming year. Now, although we know, which was the question that was posed before, basically, that the animal of a kachim, of an individual, cannot be redeemed without a blemish, and that we say things cannot be removed from their sanctity, as the Gemara Menachah says, which is learned from the pasuk Ve'im Kol Behemah Tameya, which the Gemara there says that only Bali Mumin could be redeemed, and that's what the pasuk is talking about, that if it's Tameh, if it's blemished. However, the animals of its Tzibur could be redeemed, as the Gemara will explain, because of the concept of Leiv Bezdin Masna Leim, that the Bezdin makes preconditions regarding their status, that if they need to, then they're going to go ahead and take from that. And if not, its monetary value will have. However, what the process required, that you couldn't just take it from last year's Kedusha straight to this year's Kedusha. It had to be deconsecrated first into state of Chulin by money taking that Kedusha, because Hektish cannot be deconsecrated onto Hektish itself. So therefore, it couldn't go straight. It had to go through this Mois of Chulin, but it could be redeemed in its state of Tamimis. And again, that answers the question how Shmuel was able to do that regarding this halacha that was mentioned before, because although something that's sanctified, which the Keteris was, in this Machteshes that we're considering like a Kli Sharis, he holds that since it's excess, it could be redeemed. Rabbi Yechonah says, no, he argues, he says, Niftin Kipsuli HaMukadashim, that these animals can only be redeemed like Kodesh that are invalidated, which means they have to graze until they develop a blemish, then they're sold, and then those monies are used for Nedava. Now, Hesir Se'irim, the Gemara says that if the Se'irim, if the goats are left over, now the Se'irim are Se'irim of, let's say, Karban Chatas, which are purchased with the Trumas Halishka of this year. Now, if let's say these Se'irim are left over, for example, let's say the Sa'ir of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which every Rosh Chodesh there was a Sa'ir Lachatas that was brought, if the one of Adar was lost, and then they only found it the next month, which is already Nisan, now it's, you can't bring it anymore because it's from last year's Trumas Halishka, what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, Al Daiti de Shmuel, according to Shmuel's opinion, it's obvious. Because Im Oila Niftis, if a Karban Oila, that is, although a Karban Oila, that even if it would develop a blemish, it would graze until it developed a blemish, its monies by any way would go to purchase the Kayitz HaMizbeach, which themselves are oilas, still he holds that it could be redeemed itself without grazing to develop a blemish for a Karban Oila. Therefore, the idea is loy koshkin chatas. Isn't it obvious that a karban chatas, that if you would leave it and develop a blemish, it would not be brought as a karban chatas. Rather, it would be used for kaita mezbech as a karban oila. Therefore, it's obvious that when it is being redeemed by itself, that it could be redeemed for a karban chatas. And therefore, it's obvious that you can use the karban itself and redeem it in the state of tamimis. So these se'irim are going to be used to use it for the carbon itself, just like we find by Oila, where anyways it would have been, and yet still we say that it can be deconsecrated and in its Tamima state for the Oila itself. So too for the Chatas, where it wouldn't have been, and yet still he says that he holds that you can be nifted, but Tamimas, it would be working for the carbon itself. However, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yechon that we mentioned before, we have a Machlaikis. Amar Zeira, he says Yiru, that the Se'irim have to graze just like the Eilis that we said. That you can't set aside the animal itself. Rather, it's the money. When it grazes and develops a blemish, you're going to use that money for a Karban Eila, for Kaitam Mizbeach. That's what you do with the Se'ir HaChatas. Which again is what he would sound like was the same line that Rabbi Yechonah had used that we mentioned before with the Tamimim of the Eilis that I used in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Amr B'Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he says, Ma'kaitzin Behendas Mizbeach. You can use these animals themselves, the Se'iri Chatas, that are used, let's say, on Rosh Chodesh. You can use that animal itself for the dessert of the Mizbeach, which are essentially carbon oilis, you don't have to go ahead and let it graze and develop a blemish and use those monies for the Karetz Mizbech. Let the Gemara ask for Kasha. Yes, chatas shekreva oila. Do we ever find a carbon chatas that could be used as a carbon oila? You're saying you use these chatas, seir chatas themselves. You don't have to do anything. They can be brought as the dessert. But the dessert are carbon oila. How can you take a chatas and use it as a carbon oila? So Rabbi Yosi says, shan yehi. These carbonas of the seir chatas are different. And it could be used straight away for a carbon oila. Because she'in carbonas tzibur nikvayin el b'shchita. The final status of Karbanas Tzibur, which is what these Seir Chatas are only established with their slaughtering. Because before they're slaughtered, they're hanging in the balance. Because although they're, quote, Chatas, if they want to bring it as a different carbon, they're allowed to, because it only really becomes what it is when it's slaughtered. So then, since they weren't slaughtered, they were left over, it was lost during the month of Adar, now they found it, you could bring it straight away as a carbon oil. Another Peshat the Gemara brings, Amr B'chia, Tnai Bezdin Hu Ala Meiser. It's a precondition that Bezdin makes on the excesses, Sheikav Oilis, that they could be brought as Oilis. And that is, even the excess of a Chatas can be brought as an Oila. But this opinion, that of Reb Chia, he disagrees regarding the carbon itself. The carbon, you're right. A carbon Chatas cannot be transferred directly, even before the Shechita, into a carbon Oila. But what he is saying, that since this is called in the category of Meisaris, of excess, because it's left over and we can't use it anymore for it itself. So the Meisaris, that there was a condition, as we had already alluded to this before, that there Lev Bezdin Masnalim, they make conditions and they could to say that it's going to be brought as an oil, and that's why you could use it straight away as a carbon oil, according to this opinion, not like the other opinion of that was mentioned before in with Zira, that he holds that Rabbi Yechanan, that he has to keep the same status that he mentioned before, that you have to let it graze and develop a blemish, but rather he holds that no, you can actually go ahead and use it straight away for a carbon oil for the Kaisa Mizbeach.